Postcards from Beyond, written and narrated by Paul Harris. Intent. I smoked like a chimney before I became a monk. Everywhere I went, I would carry around a tin of tobacco, replete with papers and a lighter. Heaven forbid if I ever mislaid that tin. I inhaled my last roll-up on the public bench on the hill leading up to the monastery, just before I entered, and it took about 2 months for the addiction to properly subside. The withdrawal symptoms consisted of relatively mild physical discomfort, but with extreme mental agitation and craving. During such attacks, and under the influence of intense longing, I would fantasize about chancing upon a tin of tobacco, just so I could experience those familiar sensations one last time. Well, it just so happened that one bright Sunday morning, while out for a walk by the river that runs through our town, I noticed something familiar sitting on top of a white fence post. It was an open tobacco tin, just like the one I used to carry around, and on display right before me was the tobacco, papers, and lighter I had been craving. My fantasy had come true. Was it magic, or just a coincidence? Is it possible to create certain outcomes using the power of the mind? Intent is a mental capacity common to all of us. We all use it routinely in our everyday lives. And if properly understood and mastered, it can become a powerful life-enhancing tool. The Toltec shamans of ancient Central America conceptualized intent as an impersonal energy that flows through the universe. It could be beckoned through ritual, harnessed, focused, and directed to help them fulfill their goals. To our modern sensibilities, such ideas might appear to be nothing more than superstitious hocus-pocus. But we would do well to pause for a moment and consider our human condition. If we want to do anything, before we can enact it and create an outcome, there must first be the intention to do so. This may seem obvious, but without prior intent, nothing would happen. Without intent, there would be no St. Paul's Cathedral, no moon landings, and Van Gogh could not have painted the Café Terrace at night or any of his other wonderful artworks. Intent is not just required to create the greatest of human achievements. It's also a necessary condition for even the most humble and intimate things we do. We could not stand up, sit down, open a door, say words, or make gestures without the prior intention to do so. What's so special about that? This might appear to be an obvious point, but when you look closely at your personal experience, you begin to realize that even the most humdrum activity is actually rather magical. For instance, without the prior intent, it would be impossible to get out of bed in the morning. Getting out of bed requires the subtle and balanced ongoing coordination of hundreds of individual muscles, as well as the brain sending and receiving billions of electrical signals via the nervous system. How does all of that happen so effortlessly? There is an intention to get out of bed, the command is given, and hey presto, you are out of bed. Do you know how it all happens? Are you conscious and responsible for enacting all those individual movements and activities? If you were, it would probably take you a year just to get out of bed. No. The reality is that all those bodily processes happen by themselves, triggered by nothing more than a simple wish. We really take life for granted, don't we? Intent is a fundamental and powerful part of our human makeup. What often prevents people from achieving their aspirations in life is a weakness in their intent. If we can learn to consciously harness it, our lives will be that much more satisfying and enjoyable because we will be far more able to accomplish our goals in life. Developing a strong intent is indispensable when it comes to following the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. The training is about facing the reality of your ignorance and overcoming your resistances by learning to surrender to the way life is. Inevitably, this means that, from time to time, you will be faced with a real reluctance to practice. After all, learning something new is always uncomfortable, and developing enough wisdom to let go of deeply held emotional attachments is very challenging. It's no coincidence, however, that the most worthwhile things in life are always the most difficult to acquire, and spiritual enlightenment does not come easily. So, whether it's leading a more disciplined ethical lifestyle, learning how to meditate, attending classes and retreats, seeking out guidance from real living teachers, or improving one's intellectual grasp of the theory through reading, each and every such activity requires a prior intent if it is to happen at all. And the more you deliberately intend for these things to happen, the more the power of intention is strengthened. Nothing strengthens intent so much as finding oneself reluctant to do something, but then, after suitable reflection, going ahead and doing it anyway. Recollecting what brought you to the Buddhist path, bringing to mind aspects of the teaching that resonate deeply, or recalling what following this way has given you so far in terms of developing understanding and lessening suffering, can all help to rekindle your enthusiasm and commitment. This includes the times when we need to renounce things as well. My own intent in following this way was helped tremendously by the discovery of that tobacco tin. I could have indulged in a cigarette if that was really what I wanted. I didn't, however. I walked away. What was the point of becoming a Buddhist monk in order to overcome all my attachments to the world if I was just going to surrender to my cravings at the first opportunity? It was nonsensical. I realized that I had created this whole scenario by focusing my extreme longing through fantasy and visualization. I had created my own problem, and right there and then I could renounce acting upon those unhelpful desires and instead increase my intent towards the total cessation of suffering. Of course, no amount of intention alone can ever possibly produce nibbana. Enlightenment is not a thing to be created. Intention, however, can be used very effectively to develop insight into the transient, unsatisfactory and selfless nature of existence, and thereby remove all the ignorance and emotional attachment that prevents the spontaneous realization from occurring. So, in that sense, generating positive intentions to develop all aspects of the Buddha's training can be said to be taking us closer to realizing the total cessation of suffering. Or, if you prefer, through such spiritual training, we beckon nibbana towards us by progressively making ourselves more open and available. As we practice vipassana and investigate our immediate experience, we discover for ourselves the truth that we do create the world around us. Mind is the forerunner of all things, the Buddha said. Nothing is solid. Everything is in flux. And life is fundamentally malleable. Mind and matter arise and pass away moment by moment, and no moment is ever repeated. There is no predetermination or fate. Your future can be altered by your behavior. It is intention that prompts the arising of kamma, and is therefore intimately bound up with producing future mind and matter. You can and do make things happen using your mind. The more mental clarity, confidence, and conscious focusing of the intent, the more clearly defined the result will be. Here, however, a few words of caution. Be careful for what you wish. Using intent consciously does carry risks. One must be clear about one's aspirations and must have a keen sense of right and wrong. It might be harmless enough using visualization techniques to ensure you find a car parking space when you go out for the evening, or when you pray for someone to get better. I once, however, met a very successful self-employed man who used focus visualizations to ensure that he got his own way in business meetings. He wanted to learn concentration meditation, and I got the real sense that deep down what he really wanted was more and more personal power purely for his own advantage. Inevitably, pursuing such power for purely selfish reasons will have a backlash and produce a great deal of pain, anguish, and regret, an increase in attachment, an ever greater sense of separation, more ignorance, more craving, and more suffering. It doesn't have to be that way. For instance, metta is a Buddhist practice whereby one considers the good qualities of a person and wishes them well. If one wants to learn about and play with intention and visualization, this is a very safe way to do it. Furthermore, because it is a relatively selfless and generous activity, it actually yields very favorable results, such as pleasant feelings, clear communications, and healthy, open relationships, together with a soft, gentle, and pliant mind, and a greater sense of inclusion in a benevolent universe. When practiced correctly and made much of, metta is surprisingly powerful. A meditator was in Queensland, Australia, driving from Brisbane to Cairns in the north to visit family. He intended to stop off in Townsville on the way to call on a couple of fellow meditators who had moved to the city from England a couple of years earlier. He had hoped to contact them before his arrival to let them know he was in the area, but discovered that neither of their phone numbers worked. He had their address, however, so after arriving in Townsville and checking into a hotel, he went off to find them. He located their house with little trouble, but he discovered that they were out. So he left a note for them with his contact details and then set off to explore the city. Whilst out and about, he thought it would be a good idea to buy a few supplies for when he continued his journey. He drove around randomly until he found a supermarket, parked up, went inside, and down the very first aisle, promptly bumped into one of his friends and her two children. The meditator later discovered that not only did he have the wrong telephone numbers, he had also got the address wrong. Was it coincidence that they all managed to meet up? Was it magic? Or could it have been the accumulated power of intent?